Conference Committee on House Bill 2183, 6/18/85, 1:30 p.m., Hearing Room 137, Tape 1, Side A.
Cigarette tax measure. Senator Monroe, would you kindly explain to the committee the difference between the House and Senate version of the package?
Okay, there are two differences. The first difference is in the local distribution, and the second difference is that the Senate picked up a tax on other tobacco products that is not quite equivalent to the tax on cigarettes. The staff told us that the equivalent wholesale percentage on, if we were equal to that on cigarettes, would be a little over 40%. The wholesale rate set on other tobacco products is at 35% in the bill. Snooze, chew, cigars. You get the picture. Okay, all that good stuff.
Other than smoking.
Other than cigarettes, all tobacco other than cigarettes, which are being taxed otherwise. Okay, so there's that. And the revenue estimate on the other tobacco products is $5 million for the biennium. And, of course, that's not for an entire biennium because it takes it a while before this would take effect. So that's, the assumption is that it might be a little more in the next biennium. The people from the industry believe that this figure is soft and that our actual revenues will not be this great because they'll all go out of business, and so there won't be as much money come in. But our staff did come up with what they thought was the appropriate estimate at $5 million. The distribution...
Well, we're obviously sticking with the staff revenue estimate.
Yeah, that's the only choice we have. The distribution change is a relatively minor change worked out by an agreement between the cities and the counties and the Metropolitan Service District. Under the current law and administration, Metropolitan Service District contracts out many services to local governments. Local governments pay fees to the Metropolitan Service District for those contracted services. Metro has to add a little bump onto those fees in order to cover their administrative costs. What this amendment would be to provide $150,000 in this biennium and $200,000 in future biennium, because it's only for three quarters of this biennium, or $100,000 a year to a Metro for administration out of the city, half of it out of the city share of the cities in the Metro area and half of it out of the county share of the counties in the Metro area.
What's the rationale for that? It's just money changing hands.
The rationale is that by having a targeted amount of money for administration, that they won't have to try to prorate those administrative costs onto fees, that they'll be able to charge fees that are the actual that represent the actual cost of the service rendered, instead of having to tag something else onto that, and that they'll have this relatively small amount of money, a couple $100,000, to cover administrative costs for Metro, and that in fact, of course, it won't be any change at all to any city or any county outside the Metro area. And then, in fact, because the cities and counties within the Metro area pay these fees to Metro, the net result will be no increase, really, for them either.
Question? Who sets the actual fees for those services rendered, Metro or the cities and counties?
Well, it's by agreement between Metro and the
cities and counties. Does anybody have a cost accounting system to get to really identify what the actual fee for the service is?
We didn't ask them that.
We don't seem to have a cost accounting system for much.
Mr. Fell is here representing Metro, and you might want to ask him that.
Welcome, Phil. Did you hear the question?
Yes, I did. Mr. Chair, Representative Katz, what we do with regard to the dues levy, you know, that amount is set by an advisory committee which makes a recommendation to the Metro Council under a change that we have implemented this year in anticipation of passage of the dues bill. We do have a cost accounting system. Because we, at this point, have no source of general fund revenues and therefore must make transfers from various funds. Accordingly, we are able to identify exactly what proportion of general government expenses are generated by the Department of Metro, which serves local governments.
Let me ask a question. Answer my question. Isn't this just changing money from one hand to another? Isn't this an easier public relations for Metro if they actually get the money up front from this method as opposed to tacking on a little extra administrative cost to the fees? Why are we doing this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Katz, I'd characterize it a bit differently, of course. But every year when we have gone to the Multnomah County Tax Supervising Conservation Commission, they have told us that we must develop different revenue sources and stop the transfers, not because it's illegal, simply because it, in effect, is somewhat, I don't want to use that word, it's unclear.
It's what?
It becomes somewhat unclear when, in fact, you have to go to the variety of operating funds and transfer money over into a general fund. Accordingly, what we propose to do with this is general fund revenues is reduce the transfers from the division that serves local governments.
Reduce or eliminate?
Reduce on a dollar-for-dollar basis.
So what's the advantage for doing that if you don't eliminate the transfer altogether? Why transfer $1 rather than two?
Well, because the transfer, Mr. Chair, Representative Troop, the transfers exceed the total money which we would anticipate, which is given to us in this bill.
Chair, then you're not solving your problem. You're just, in terms of, you're not solving your total problem.
Ms. Chair, Representative Katz, we are not solving our total problem. That's correct.
Okay.
We are improving our situation incrementally.
Let me ask another question. If you still have the ability to charge the administrative costs, how are we assured that you won't get this money, then charge an additional administrative cost on top of this? If we're not doing a total transfer of administrative costs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Katz, we certainly have. We are very interested in not being forced to come back in the near future to try to raise the cap on the dues. At this point, our work program is determined by that local government advisory committee. They have recommended a work program that would require dues levies of 51 cents.
We're in an awkward position here. The Senate is at ease waiting for a quorum, and the two folks that are targeted for that Senate quorum happen to be immediately to my right. We need to either motor through this pretty quickly or come back.
Do we, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burrows?
Is there in the packet, and I haven't taken the, I was listening so didn't take the time to look, is there a comparison on what we did relative
yes.
to what the Senate did?
We are A, and we are no letter at all with the numbers, and they are B.
Okay. All right.
I guess I share some of the same kinds of concerns. This seems like it was kind of a half-baked idea that was thrown in the hopper at the very end, and if this was such an important idea, why wasn't it introduced as a bill in the session? Why weren't we worked with from the very beginning? This was something that I think came, you mentioned it to me on the House revenue side the very last day, I believe it was, of our budget balance deliberations there. And at that point, I just put my hands up and said, no, we don't need any more good ideas. This should have been in months before.
Mr.
Probably got to the Senate the very next day, which was their very first day of budget balance deliberations, and build it in there. Why isn't it, Senator Monroe?
Can I answer that? They actually, justification, people from Metro, including Mr. Fell, were in communication with me last summer and all the preparatory period and all session about whether or not there would be some way to possibly work out some little bit of administrative money.
Mr.
It's true that the final package didn't come together until late, but they were discussing this with me and I think with Senator Cease as well.
The participation started out actually in House Bill 2276, which was the original, where we all started looking at the federal 8 cents. And that was where the original participation started out.
Well, I guess a question, if this is such a good idea, why aren't we completely replacing the administrative money with cigarette tax money if it's actually a saving to these other local jurisdictions dollar to dollar? Why don't we just eliminate the transfers altogether, figure out how much money is required, and fund your administration out of cig tax?
Mr. Chair, Representative Troop, the transfers, the reduction in transfers, although we are going to do a dollar for dollar with cigarette tax revenues versus the transfers, doesn't come out to a dollar for dollar reduction necessarily for the jurisdictions. It is possible that the dues could be reduced by 20 cents per capita next time, depending on what that local government group determines they want the work program to be. It's conceivable that they could continue to want to levy at the 51 cent level and simply expand the work program and include other items.
Oh, I see. So the additional $300,000 will be used for new expenditures for additional programs that Metro provides for local governments.
Well, Representative, that's not necessarily so.
It's not necessarily not so either, right?
Agreed. But then that determination will lie in the hands of the Local Government Advisory Committee.
Okay. But they have a pot of $300,000 more to play with.
$200,000, I think.
It's $300,000 for this biennium.
$400,000 next.
Yes, $100,000 from cities.
I'm sorry, I was
counties
speaking annually.
For a year.
It's really money to local government is what it is.
And it's money to local government whether we do this or not.
And the local governments want to spend 2/10 of their cig tax in the Tri-County area this way.
Local governments have been supportive, yes.
Local cities and counties in the metro area were contacted. They do support this. And the organization of counties and cities statewide agree to this.
All right. We had a conference committee amendment that, let's see. Were you wanting to present that, Speaker Katz, or
did you want me to present that?
Oh, you can present that. You have a presentation. Why didn't I think of that? Senator Cease.
I have a -13 amendment that I would move that establishes the Tobacco Education Fund. And I have a copy of it here, and I think Mr. Yates has that for everyone. It's very simple. It's a tobacco education fund. It directs the Department of Education to design a comprehensive educational program about the short and long-term health risks of smokeless tobacco. And it establishes the fund with $98,000.
Senator Cease, would you consider as a friendly amendment the deletion of the term smokeless on line 10?
Sure.
Discussion? Speaker Katz?
Our term, when you say effects of tobacco, is that I don't want them not to work on smokeless chewing tobacco.
I assume the intention of his amendment would be that it would be everything.
Correct. So we'd also need to take smokeless off out of line 7?
Representative Schoonthorn, if I supported this, I wouldn't have to look at the pictures. No visual aids on the floor.
Further discussion on the motion to amend? Senator Monroe?
Well, you know, I strongly support the concept here. It just seems to me that it's something that the Department of Education is or ought to be doing anyway as a part of their normal educational programs and their health classes that are given all the way from elementary up through college. And I wonder about a dedicated fund for it at kind of this late date. I wonder if it's necessary to get them to do this, to have this kind of dedicated fund, and you know, whether this is really going to make that much difference or whether or not it might not be more appropriate if we need to dictate curriculum to them. First of all, to check with them and see if they're doing this or if they're planning to do this, and if not, you know, pass a bill that says do it rather than a dedicated fund.
But they have been contacted, Mr. Chair, and are not doing this now.
One option might be to put a two-year sunset date on it, review it, 87. Speaker Katz?
Jane, how do we know it's winning $98,000?
Good question. They had, I understand, some figures developed for a far larger amount. I suggested to the two representative seats from whence this idea came that I felt it could be achieved with a lot less, and so that's when they came up with the $98,000.
Senator Monroe?
So the figure came from the Department of Education?
The figures that they had from the Department of Education were far larger.
Where did the $98,000 figure come from?
The more conservative member of the CES household.
Actually, my figure was lower.
You want to do it, I won't object, but
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Cease and Representative Schoon have been working on this, and they're probably the ones that John was trying to talk to me on the House floor. John's representing Schoon, and they came up with the figure of the $98,000, and I just wasn't interested enough to know how they arrived. The House floor was the place to ask him, but I know that those two came up with the figure.
Probably any figure we choose is going to be somewhat arbitrary. Sure. So why couldn't we? Further discussion? Okay.
Mr.
Senator Monroe?
You know, we've got a major budget package that this is a key ingredient in. And I would hate to see it get clouded up or jeopardized by this. I would much rather prefer to deal with this issue in separate legislation that isn't a part of the major budget balance package. If the House conferees are all in agreement on this, I won't object. But my judgment is that this is not the appropriate time or place to do it.
If there isn't sufficient support, one other option might be to put a provision in here that would ask the Department of Education to give us some indication that if next session we were to produce a fund of $100,000 or $98,000, what kind of a curriculum, what kind of training could be developed, what kind of a program would we be purchasing for that money, and make the decision at that point. That could potentially be a fallback position.
Mr. Chairman.
Jim Burroughs.
My intentions have been to support this, and I realize I'm about to violate something I feel very strongly about, and that is sticking things in conference committees that have not had a full hearing.
Mr.
And
Chairman.
I think that ought to be one of our, did you have full hearings on this? Has this proposal gone through the hearing process in the legislature?
Yes. Business and Consumer Affairs Committee in the House.
Oh, okay. Then
in fact, they actually reported a bill two ways and means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Monroe?
Well, this cost me my train of thought back there. Oh, the one thing that bothers me about this is the $98,000 figure is a guess. It's not based upon anybody from the Department of Education coming in and saying, this is what we can do, and then negotiations with them and saying, well, that's too much. What can you do for this? And, you know, the kind of thing that normally goes on in terms of determining a program, so we know for $98,000 we're buying X program. We don't know that, do we?
Would you like to reduce it?
I think I'd like not to do it in this bill.
Well, there is a way, Mr. Chair. There is a way of doing it where you, another fund allocation, and they come to the emergency board, to the emergency board with a preparation of a budget to do Section 53. That way you're not setting an amount aside for that. We'll remember it was $98,000, but so that if they come with anything higher, and then you're able to dwindle it down if it's 50, if it's 25, whatever you want to do it.
Could you verbally articulate that in a conceptual amendment form for us so we could consider that as an alternative? Frankly, I'm far more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Rather than creating a $98,000 dedicated fund in this package, I would far prefer to have a essentially a request for proposal to the Department of Education that would be brought to the Ways and Means Committee. And if the Ways and Means, or the Emergency Board, excuse me, if the Emergency Board actually felt that the proposal had merit, then to fund it out of the cigarette tax revenues that would be available to the state. I think that's a tremendous suggestion.
I would prefer that.
That's acceptable.
Okay.
That's what I suggested.
Now, earlier, is our staff used to writing those kinds of amendments? Dick, you're on the spot.
Dick, you shouldn't have any problem with fiscal on that. Double check the language. It's Ways and Means or E-Board.
Okay, chair moves to amend. Well, let's see. If you want to withdraw your motion, would that be the smoothest?
It belongs to all of you now. So if there is any objection, I'll take it away.
Okay. Senator Cease withdraws her motion, and in the place of that motion, the chair moves that we ask the Department of Education to submit a proposal to the Emergency Board regarding a. Tobacco product. I don't think we need him after all.
I would
tell him we don't need him after all.
I would suggest you use the intent in Section 53.
You use the intent in Section 53 to accomplish that.
After
further discussion.
Removing smokeless.
Further discussion. Is there an objection to the motion? Senator Monroe.
Maybe you should say. Maybe to clarify, you should say cigarette and smokeless tobacco products. So we make sure we got the smokeless in there.
What about cigars?
Well, let's.
Why don't you just say tobacco products?
Let's just say tobacco.
Okay. All right.
The record will show.
All right. That's fine.
Any further discussion? Is there an objection to the motion? Not so ordered.
Okay. Now, okay.
Let's see. We did have. One witness in the audience who was interested in providing some testimony on the tax on other tobacco products. Is there that witness in the audience?
She just walked out.
Okay. Well.
Carol.
Let the.
She's going to tell you that it's going to put them all out of business.
Well, let it be known that we asked Harold Bartlett to testify on this before we sent it out. It's unfortunate we and she did not have that opportunity. Chair would move the. Chair would move the Senate. Version as amended by the conference committee to the floors of the House and the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Senator Cease?
Aye.
Kitzhaber?
Excused.
Monroe?
Aye.
Burroughs, Representative
Aye.
Burroughs? Katz?
Aye, she said.
Troop?
Aye. Motion is adopted.
I wish we had you, Chair.
Anything else to come before the conference committee before we recess upon call? If not, recess.
What time are we going?